The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Let's pray over the word right now. We're going to go to the word. Father, thank you for every ear to be anointed to hear, every heart to be receptive, receive all that heaven has. Thank you, according to the scripture, your word grows mightily and prevails in the life of each and every believer here today. Thank you for the army of men and women that you're raising up in every sphere of life, and Lord, victorious to overcome every plan of the enemy, every wile of the wicked one. Thank you, Lord, for equipping them, that out of them comes your word, even in the hard times and the tough times, that they won't come out with some idea or some experience or some theory, but your word will grow mightily and prevail and take root, and the word shall come out in the midnight hour, and the oil of heaven shall be their portion and shall sustain them through whatever time might come. And Lord, that you're raising them up for your glory, that out of this place, men and women shall be launched to the far-flung corners of the globe, and churches shall spring up, and Bible schools shall be established, and the harvest shall be reaped. And we, Father, we thank you for that, and we give you praise. Thank you that this place does not exist for any accolades for a man or a woman, but this place exists so that that name, the name of Jesus, can be lifted up and exalted. And so without you, we can do nothing. Without you, we would surely fail. Without you, we would be drifting like a ship without a sail. And so we do not rely upon our own ability or upon that which we have learnt, but we rely upon your word, and we rely upon the Holy Ghost, the greater one who lives on the inside of us, to even give us utterance this morning that we might speak your word unto your people today. And Father, we just thank you. Cause there to be a multiplying increase in the life of every believer for the month of October, we pray, and we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a shout over that. You received that. It was so powerful last Sunday. Pastor Mike Hankins ministered. If you were not here, you need to go watch that. Both Sunday morning and Sunday night, I was so happy. And just the treasure that he brought as a pastor of a church for many years, and just was, it was phenomenal. I felt in my spirit this morning to continue along the lines. How many were here when we took the vow of prosperity? Okay, how many are glad that we did that? Amen. So if you were not here, you can go on revival.com. You can pull up the bulletin from several Sundays ago, and the whole vow is there. You as a family can do that. Somebody said, well, I took a vow of poverty. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you did. But we don't do that here. We take a vow of blessing here. But the title of my message, I'm continuing along these lines today, is called the Zone of Extreme Blessings. How many have noticed when you walk in the door of the church, one of the signs that are up there said you are entering the zone of extreme blessing? Three people noticed that. Glad that you did. And the reason why we say that, and you will even understand that more when you come to the conference on There Is a Sound, because something that God does when he transforms our life, it's greater than just a service. It's greater than just a meeting. When Jesus comes to make his home on the inside of you, then you carry that which money cannot buy. And when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, that means the third person of the Godhead comes to live on the inside of every single person. That's why the scripture declares, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Therefore, wherever you go, blessing is going to flow, regardless of where you find yourself, regardless of the circumstances of life. As we found out even on this Asia tour, even in the midst of adverse circumstances, there were people that God had raised up, business people, The one pastor in a total communist country has a factory that is now, his produce is going around the world. And God raised him up even under communism. And he prayed and God told him what to do. So it didn't matter what governments that we found ourselves under. We found people that had grabbed a hold of these truths. For me, it is horrifying to think that in America, that there are people here that live in a land that on paper it's so free, and yet they are so bound because they're bound by the doctrines of men and traditions of men. So the title of the message this morning is The Zone of Extreme Blessings. The Zone of Extreme Blessings. Can you say amen? Now, let me go to a great passage of Scripture, and I mentioned it a lot, and I will, between now and the time Jesus comes, and it's found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible, so if it comes across a little loud, it's because it's amplified. He says, if you listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, be watchful to do his commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Now, just before we get further into this passage, while many people would immediately write it off because it's Deuteronomy 28, and they would say that this was for the children of Israel, understand this one thing. If this was for the children of Israel, under an old covenant, which was based on the blood of bulls and goats, how much more under the new covenant, based on the blood of the Lamb, what God has for his people? And just remember this, they rejected him, and because they rejected him, it opened the door for us to come in. Can you say amen? So whatever was promised to them is now for us. Are you with me? So somebody said, well, you know, I don't really believe that. Well, it's evident. One look at your face and we can see what you believe. Are you with me? But when you make a decision to believe the word of God, amen, something's going to happen. Look what he said here. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you heed the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your beasts, the increase of your cattle, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Say this after me, I'm blessed coming in, and I'm blessed going out. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. Now, some of them you might know about. Others, you might not even know that you have an enemy, but they are planning your demise even now. But don't worry, God will take care of them before they even get to you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. And the Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses, in all that you undertake. That means when you wake up in the morning. That means when you lie down and go to sleep at night. Amen. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. And the Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. All the people of the earth shall see that you called by the name and in the presence of the Lord and shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make you have a surplus of prosperity through the fruit of your body and of your livestock and your ground in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord shall open to you his good treasure, the heavens to give rain in the land and the season to bless all the work of your hands, and you shall lend unto many nations and shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only and not be beneath if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and you are watchful to do them. And turn not aside from any of these words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. And then, of course, you can read all the curses that you've been redeemed from, if you want to, which is a chapter full of nightmares. But it's imperative that you do read them so you can see what he has redeemed you from. Verse 47, which is very important, which I draw your attention today, he said, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness of mind and heart, in gratitude for the abundance of all with which he has blessed you, therefore you'll serve your enemies. So you have a choice. That's why we need to be thankful and we need to worship him for every little, tiny, little thing. Don't just get excited about the big things. How many believe in God for big things? But you need to rejoice over little, tiny, little things and just be thankful. Be so happy about the little things. Don't just be focused on big things and then you get disappointed because, you know, I've been believing God for this thing and it hasn't happened yet. Yeah, but think about all the little things that have happened along the way. You get excited about those little things. The big things will take place. That which God promised you will come to pass. Are you with me? You say, why? Because you are blessed. You are blessed. You're blessed coming in and you're blessed going out. You're blessed in the city and you're blessed in the field. You're blessed in the country. Can you say amen? You're blessed. You're not cursed. You're blessed. You are blessed. Some may say, well, people are trying to curse me. The curse won't be able to go anywhere. The curse will come and hit you and bounce off of you and go right back to where it came from. You can't curse what God's blessed. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Now, blessing is not our idea. We didn't come up with it. Blessing is the Father's idea. Proverbs 10 and 22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow with it. Wherever you look at the world and you see what people consider blessing, which people think are material things, yet you see wherever people have over abundance, yet there's total devastation. So money can buy you a house, but can't buy you a home. Money can give you a wedding on a yacht that will cost you $6 million just for the wedding, but can't give you a happy marriage. Money could actually buy you a lot of things on the earth, but at the end of the day, you have nothing. Someone sent me a picture of one of the richest men in the Middle East who just died. And there's actually seven pictures of rooms full of gold, piles of money, cars and yachts and gold-plated whatever. And he died and doesn't know Jesus. So what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world, lose his own soul? So you have to understand where the true riches come from. It comes from knowing Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and then having the Holy Spirit come to live on the inside of you. But the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow with it. I watch people in the world, the more they get blessed, the greater the burden comes on them. And then they popping pills because they're a nervous wreck or somebody's trying to steal their investments and somebody's trying to steal their money and there's crooks trying to do them out of this deal and that deal. What a nightmare to live under. You know, if God's blessed you, no one can steal what God's blessed you with. Somebody said, well, they're trying to steal it from me. Give it to them. Just tell them. You can have it. I'm gonna see if I can. God's the one that blesses you. And if God blesses you, no one can take what God has given to you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Deuteronomy 29 and verse 9. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that you do. So my prerogative that I have is to every day get up and do only what he tells me to do. Many times people get outside of God's purpose and plan for their life because they come up with some crazy idea and they go and they, Lord, here's this plan, please bless it. When in reality, if we go to God and ask him for the plan, it'll already be blessed.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
So how many know that God has a plan for your life? It's very unique. It's designer for you. Are you with me? Somebody said, why? Because you're different to the person next to you. Why would God give you the same plan he's got for them? It's impossible. God has made that plan especially for you. So ask him what the plan is, and then just every day get up and endeavor to do exactly what he tells you to do and be obedient to him and watch what's going to take place. Leviticus 26 and verse 9, for I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply and establish my covenant with you. That means everywhere you go, people will see that you are in covenant with God and that God's blessing is upon your life.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
people will actually come to you and say, I don't even understand how are you doing what you're doing? And you say, look, it's not what I'm doing. I'm just doing what he tells me to do. If I obey him, are you with me? If I obey the Lord, there's nothing the devil can do. The devil doesn't control your destiny. God controls your destiny. If the devil ever had his way, you'd have been dead already. Who had the devil already tried to kill you? Obviously, he didn't succeed, did he? So, therefore, God's plan has stood in effect over your life. Can you say amen? Say this after me. Blessing is the Father's idea. Blessing is my Heavenly Father's idea. Now, look at number 2. 3 John and verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, a lot of preachers, unfortunately, have taken the scripture and they always twist it around to your special gift today on television. How many have seen our program on television? We don't take offerings on there. How many have seen that? Okay. We receive offerings in the local meetings where we are because that's scriptural. The Bible tells you if you sow spiritual good among them, is it too much of a reap from your material benefit? The Bible talks about tithes and offerings and giving and all that kind of stuff. But it has horrified me over the years to watch how people have taken the word of God and twisted it, trying to get some money out of the people. That's not how this thing works. The blessing of the Lord is to you. It's got nothing to do. Obviously, I give because I want to be generous, and I give because the Lord blesses me, and I give because I want to obey the word of the Lord. But I'm not giving to buy anything from God. I'm sure not giving my tithe as protection money, as though God is some kind of a godfather, and he expects me to pay him protection money. And if I don't pay him protection money, then he's going to come to my house, break my kneecaps, and air condition the place, and they might find me in a swamp somewhere. Because God sent an angel by the name of Vinny and another angel by the name of Luigi, and they tracked me and whacked me. Are you with me? So I'm not doing that. We're not doing it out of fear. We do it out of a love relationship, and we give out of a love relationship because we know that we cannot outgive him, and we give in proportion to the blessing that he's blessed us with. So this prosper thing has got nothing to do. Somebody said, well, I gave my special gift and nothing happened. Yeah, but you might have given a gift, but you didn't listen to God. You can't give a gift and then go in disobedience. The Bible says, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. And the Bible says to obey is better than to sacrifice. So many people want to come and throw a sacrifice on the altar while they disobey. Hello. You know, I'm going to give the Lord some money on the side here, hoping that he'll turn a blind eye to what I'm doing over here. So, you know, I don't like this brother over here. I kind of hate him. But I'm going to give the Lord an offering over here, hoping he'll bless me even while I walk in unforgiveness. It doesn't work that way. Are you with me? So you can't buy your way out of obeying the Lord and doing what he tells you to do. Say this after me. If I'm willing and obedient, I'll eat the good of the land. But he says here, beloved, I wish above all things, now John's right in this, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. But obviously, this is by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So this is God's desire for you, that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, which is another whole level of prosperity, to have a mind that is prosperous. To have a mind that has no fear, that doesn't have doubt and always questioning everything. I met people that were multimillionaires, and boy, are they messed up in their heads. Because money cannot buy you peace of mind. Only the Prince of Peace can do that. Are you with me? Therefore, what you are blessed with is greater than with your bank account and your assets and all of these things. Please do not get your self-worth from what people say you are worth. You are not worth what they say you are. And you're not worth what they think you are. There's a big difference between what I'm worth and what the people out there think I am. There's rumors floating around the internet that I'm worth like $14 million. I looked at my wife. I said, are we missing something somewhere? I called my accountant who's been with me since 1994. I mean, if you actually knew what I was worth, it's not even worth what I'm worth. I mean, it's like ridiculous. I mean, we've basically given much of everything away. So I don't know where all these assets are, but I know my worth does not come from what's in the bank. It's got nothing to do with what's in the bank. The bank can be zero. I'm still happy. Hello. I know everybody's looking at me right now, but I'm telling you right now, your worth has got nothing to do with what you have in your bank or with how much property is to your name or what's listed in your name. Because I've met people, everything is hocked up to the eyeballs. If you suddenly snapped your finger and whatever was not purchased over a period of time was removed, they'd be standing there in their BVDs. Even their suits are financed. I mean, the suits would be gone, the shoes would be gone, the watch would be gone, the car would be gone, and they're standing there in their BBDs. If you suddenly took everything away, and somebody said, well, he's really wealthy, he has a lot of, he has nothing. He's financed everything up to his eyeballs. What are you talking about? Well, yeah, but he looks so wealthy and rich. He has nothing. It's all an image. It's just an image. But think about, your worth is so much more than what they say you're worth. Do you know what it would take to even replace you as a human being here on the earth? Nobody could even replicate you. You are actually one of a kind. Somebody said, thankfully. There's nobody that can replace you. Listen to me, people. There's no one that can replace you. No one. Absolutely no one. So, all of this begins because of our life that is rooted in Him. I pray. I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. The moment you begin to realize that, and I say this, but again, I can't even relate it to material things, but if I told every single one of you sitting here today, in actuality, you are billionaires, you wouldn't believe me, because you have to see it in your bank account, and there's not a bank that can hold what you're worth. I said there's not a bank that can hold what you're worth. So if you get your worth by what you think they say you're worth, then you really, you're in trouble. Because if you know money's all fake anyway. Yeah. Hello. You know it's all made out of nothing. It's all fabricated. I have books about it. That's why money to me means nothing. It's just a tool. We just utilize it. Amen. I know, look at everybody just looking at me now. Yeah, Pastor, I'll be very happy if I had a whole bunch more than I have. You're already rich. You're already rich. You don't even know it. You're already rich. Listen. You listen carefully to me right now. Okay. Has the Lord ever failed you?
No.
Has He ever let you down?
No.
When you prayed, did He come through for you?
Yes.
Did He help you? Do you think He'll do it tomorrow?
Come on.
Do you think He'll do it next week? We're not doing anything to keep up with the Joneses. Are there any Joneses here? Who's Jones? Anybody here with the last name Jones? Stand up. Stand up. Who else? Any Joneses here? Stop trying to keep up with him. And with her. Everybody's always trying to keep up with the Joneses. We're not here to keep up with anybody. We're not here to compare ourselves with anybody. We're here to do what God's called us to do. Psalm 105 and 37, he brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble or sick one among their tribes. That's what God did to the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. They stripped the Egyptians of their wealth. Here we find ourselves journeying through this earth. There's an anointing on you to strip the Egyptians, to take the wealth of the wicked that's been laid up for the just. Someone in these last days will grab a hold of these truths. Someone in these last days will say, yes, that's me. God's raised me up for that purpose. You are blessed to be a blessing. I was thinking about it when we made this trip across Asia. How could we even do this if the Lord had not blessed us? How could we even be able to travel? And people always want to know, well, I wonder what the budget for the trip is. I wonder how much did it cost you? And I just look at them, like my wife says, we say, it's nunya. It's nunya. Nunya. What do you mean it's nunya? It's none of your business. It's nunya. What has it got to do with what you think what the budget is? We are obeying what God said do. He said run to 300 cities of the world. Are you with me? You know, somebody said, does the offerings out there cover the trip? Some of it barely pays for the hotel. That's not the point. We don't go where it covers the trip. We go where he tells us to go. God covers us. If we were not blessed, we could not be a blessing. How in the world are you going to bless others when you can't even bless yourself? But you've been blessed to be a blessing. And don't look at me and say, well, it's easy for you, Pastor. Listen, I'll take you back to our beginnings. We didn't have money to put petrol in the car. We'd fill up, we'd go to the gas station, and of course they do self-service. I mean, they don't do self-service. They have people come and pump, and they come to the window, and you tell the guy, $5. He says, a top up. No, we actually on empty. $5. That's all we have. Somebody said, how far will this get you? I don't know, but $5. And then he puts in $5, and you pray in tongues as you drive down the road, praying that you don't run out. Hello. And go to the church and go preach that we're going to go to the nations of the earth. Here we are. We got in there on the things on reserve. The red light's been on for an hour. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you don't even know if you're going to get home and get up and preach just like I am right now. We're going to go to the nations of the earth. Praise God. Everybody's just looking at you, and you pulled up in this beat-up old car, you know, and I won't get into that. But a lot of people look at us and say, well, it's easy for you to talk. It's only easy because we made a decision a long time ago. Listen, I don't care what anybody else does. I don't care what any preacher does. I'm going to believe the word of God. Take everybody else out of the equation, and God's word is speaking to me. And if it's going to work for anybody, it's going to work for us. My wife and I made a decision. If God's word's going to work for anybody, it's going to work for us. Why? Because we're going to allow the Lord to do a work in us. We said, Lord, change us. Whatever we need to change, our thinking, change it. Transform our thinking. Renew our minds to your word that we can receive all that heaven has. We're not here to be popular. We're not here to be liked. We're not here to become famous. We're not here to be invited back. We are here to obey you and obey you alone and to do exactly what you want us to do. Whatever the cost, whatever the price is, it matters not. We'll go anywhere you tell us to go. We'll say whatever you tell us to say. We'll do whatever you tell us to do. We'll be whichever you tell us to be. Not our will, but thine be done. And we take your word literally. We take it literally. And we take it as though it's for us, for nobody else. If they want it, they can get it. But right now, it's ours. We're taking everything. Can you say amen? Mine, 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 mine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So say this after me, I am blessed to be a blessing. Psalm 21 and verse 6, you make him to be blessed and a blessing forever. You make him exceedingly glad with the joy of your presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God makes you exceedingly glad. It's that presence of God that will sustain you through the tough times in your life when you've just heard horrendous news. Yet God's joy will sustain you and his peace will sustain you. Can you say amen? Amen. Then look at this. This is so powerful. This is a passage the Lord gave us many years ago. Proverbs 22 and verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Psalm 91 and verse 16. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, the third point is this, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Okay, that's why I love palm trees. Have you seen how many palm trees there are on this property? A palm tree has the ability to grow in desert places. A palm tree signifies an oasis. You can go through some of the great deserts of the world and you come up on an oasis, right? In the middle of nowhere where it looks like nothing should grow and there's palm trees and there is water. Psalm 92 and verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree and he shall grow up like the cedar in Lebanon. That means God will cause you to flourish like a palm tree. It does not matter where you go, right in the middle of the dark places, right in the middle where all hell's breaking loose. And that's what we saw on this tour. When you go through, you see total devastation, yet you see believers that God has raised up, even in China, in Vietnam. I bumped into millionaires, billionaires in China. They're believers, love God. They have apartments in Beijing, apartments in New York, and these are believers. God gave them a company that has five different divisions. I mean, the craziest stuff under total repressive situation. Are you with me? How much more in America with the freedoms that we have here shouldn't God bless you and cause you to rise up? Maybe it's when people live under pressure that they have to actually pray every single day to hear from God. And so that's why they come through. They come out the other side. Maybe it's because in America, things are so easy that people, you know, I don't really have to believe God. Come on. I'm going to push you, people. I'm going to push you. There's a lot more that God has for every single one of you. And we're going to push you to rise to that place. The righteous, say this after me, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Now raise your hand, look like a palm tree. Some of you look like a weeping willow. Come on. Come on, spread out your roots. Say this after me, say, I'm righteous. Say, I'm flourishing like a palm tree. God's causing me to be an oasis in a dry and a thirsty land. Therefore, this doesn't matter what the economy is like. We were in the Philippines, I think it was 56 to 1, 52 to 1. In Vietnam, what was it? It was pretty bad. The number was exorbitant to $1. And yet there's people that have companies and the companies are touching Asia. And they came from nothing. The pastor told us, he said, I was totally poor and poverty stricken. I had nothing. And he said, I prayed and I was faithful with my giving and my tithe. And the Lord just began to speak to me every day, do this, do this. And then God gave him a whole plan. He has his own mattress factory, has mattresses and pillows and a new synthetic pillows and mattresses. And he said, this thing's taken off. Huh? It's $23,000 to $1. Yeah, in Vietnam. And yeah, this, he has his whole factory and all his mattresses are going all over and his pillows are going all over. And he said, I came from total poverty, but he said, every day I just prayed and I did what God told me to do. At, 23,000 to 1. Imagine if the dollar was devalued 23,000 to one other currency. Think about that. But here's a Vietnamese pastor that's just praying and just believing God, and he's faithful with his tithe and his offering, and then the Lord speaks to him, do this. God gives him a whole concept for a new mattress with a new fiber, and then the pillows. And now these pillows and mattresses are going all over. He's got a factory, many employees. Isn't that amazing? And then the Lord leads him to do an annual worship night. And so they allow him to do that. And he does an annual worship night on the internet, up to 2 million views on the internet. And he leads worship. One of the things that came out of the night in Vietnam, many of the pastors were calling him repenting. And they said, we didn't understand you. We thought you were doing this so you could be seen, but God showed us your heart. A poor Vietnamese man that God, heaven kissed. And then God raised him up, and now worship is going out across Vietnam. And this factory with mattresses and pillows. And remarkable. At 23,000 to 1. So I want to hear anybody moan about the economy. I don't want to hear anybody moan about the banking world. Because this has nothing to do with who's in office, has nothing to do with the Congress of the United States. It's got to do with your king and your guard. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The blessing of God is not on the drug dealer. The blessing of God is on the righteous. How many righteous do we have here in the room today? The blessing of the Lord is on you. Hallelujah. 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 Genesis 13 and 2, Abraham was rich in silver and cattle and gold. Now, the blessing is not only to you, but to your children and your children's children. And that's just the way it is. David said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. Never. 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 Something about the righteous, when God marks you, when God puts his hand upon you, it'll have impact on your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. Can you say amen? Psalm 112 verses 2, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not only are you blessed, but your children are blessed and your grandbabies will be blessed. Hallelujah. Say this after me. God honors his word. Isaiah 55 and verse 11, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. It will prosper the thing whereunto I sent it. God did not send his word out there to fail. God sent his word out there to succeed. But his word has to be received by the heart that believes and the heart that accepts it. And when the heart accepts it, the word of God will increase and begin to multiply. It's like I prayed at the opening prayer over the message. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. One of the things that you have to understand, even sitting here in the zone of extreme blessing today, that the word of God is taking root on the inside of you, and the word of God is growing, and the word of God will prevail over every circumstance of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's why there's going to be a sound that's going to be released. There's going to be a sound that's going to be released coming out of your mouth. Which I don't want to jump into that yet. I feel that right now, but there's going to be a sound. The devil's been trying to shut that sound up. He's been trying to, but he ain't going to do it. He's not going to do it. He's not going to stop you. Absolutely not. The sound is going to be heard. Hallelujah. 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 Now, say this after me. No one can reverse God's blessings. So no man can remove God's blessings. You know, somebody said, well, I met a preacher and he told me that I was cursed. You mean you met a witch? Yeah. Well, the preacher told me that I was cursed. Really? Wow. Do you know how many preachers have cursed me? No. Do you know how many preachers have cursed me? Let me ask you a question. Do you think any curse by any preacher against me has worked? So why do you think a curse from some idiot preacher is going to hurt you? They can't curse you. Why? Because you're really blessed. And there's no member here at the river that can be cursed by anybody else. Because, absolutely not. Because you're blessed. And blessing's been pronounced over you. You've already been condemned to blessing. I've already condemned every single one of you to blessing. Somebody said, yeah, but there's people, they're practicing juju against me. And I found a doll that looked just like me and it had some pins in it, Pastor. They're practicing, I don't care what, when every time they stick a pin in the doll that looks like you, they're going to stick themselves. They go like this. God's blessing is upon you. Numbers 23 and 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? Behold, I've received a commandment to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Whenever I think of you, I think of the blessing of God on you, and then I can see the devil trying to curse you, and it's like he's got a remote that doesn't work. So he's supposed to zap you, and he goes like this. Throw it away, tell the demons, something's broken with this thing. Give me another one. It doesn't work. You cannot curse what God has blessed. You cannot curse. You cannot curse what God has blessed. The hand of the Lord is upon you to accomplish all that God has called you to do. And every single one of you will accomplish heaven's purpose and heaven's plan for your life. And on that day, you will hear these words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Jesus. Hey. It's Spanish, people get excited. Next time, if we can have faster camera action on that. I thought I was back in, was it Vietnam? I've never seen the camera move that fast. Slow down, guys, just a little bit. People getting whiplash just watching the screen. God's favor, God's blessing and his goodness manifested in your life Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. How do you know what the Lord has planned for you this week? How do you know? How do you know? How do you know? How do you know? Monday blessings, Tuesday blessing, Wednesday blessing, Thursday blessing, Friday blessing. Some say, well, I mean, I could die. Then you got to be with Jesus then. I mean, how bad could that be? Then it's blessings unlimited. Goodbye to that thing. Saying goodbye to your body. Goodbye to that thing. Never be bothered with you again. Amen. Like kicking off an old shoe. Hallelujah. Come on. His blessings, his favor, his goodness manifested in your life. This month of October, I just speak it over you. It's going to be the greatest October that you've ever had. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, as I wrap this up here, let me just say this, because I get so tired of this. Everywhere we travel, I hear from people, they come to talk to me, and even ministers, they say, Pastor Rodney, can you pray for me? And I say, well, what's wrong? Well, I have a generational curse. So now you got to sit and listen for an hour about why they have the generational curse, because my father was this way, my mother and my grandfather, and you go back in the history, and then you're back in 1948, and then by 1952, things were pretty bad, and by 1963, it was pretty much over. Which everybody has a story. If you want a story, put it in a book. But let your chapters be one of victory. Always comes out of the end of victory. But people think that the generational curse thing, like one lady come to me in the prayer line, I said, lady, what's wrong? She said, I have a generational curse. I said, okay, let me just stop you for a moment. I said, how long have you been saved? She said, 15 years. I said, well, do you ever think that you're saved because of a generational blessing? Oh, come on. So she said, oh, I never thought about that. Deuteronomy 1 and verse 11, the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so much more as you are and bless you as he promised you. When you begin to study this out, you see that the curse is to the third and fourth generation of those that hate God, but the blessing is to 1,000 generations of them that fear him. Could it be that your family was under generational curse? Could it be? Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind. I'm not taking away from all of that. But something happens the day that you get born again. Something happens the day that you give your life to Jesus. You step out of that, whatever that was, into another dimension. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not going to be like it was for your parents. It's not going to be like it was for your grandparents. It's not going to be like it was for your great-great-great-grandparents. It's not going to be like it was for your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. Brother, Pastor, please pray for me. I just found out that my fifth great-grandfather was a pirate that ran rum in the Caribbean. And that will explain why in the morning times, many times, I feel like my arm is like a hook. And I don't know what it is. And I'll scratch myself in the night. And I wake up in the morning, I get up, and when I walk, it sounds like I got a wooden leg. I don't understand. I walk and I hear this clump, clump when I walk along. And then I scratch my eye and it starts to bleed. And I just, and I keep finding myself just, put a patch on me, And I think it's something to do with the generational curse. I don't care if your fifth great-grandfather was a pirate that ran rum in the Caribbean. Who cares? You're not a pirate. And you're not running rum. You're a child of God. You're washed in the blood of Jesus. You're full of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And you don't have a hook for your right hand. And you don't have a wooden leg, or maybe you do, but it doesn't matter. You're still not a pirate. In many instances, you don't really want to know what your ancestors did. Stop being so inquisitive about your genealogy to find out what your great-great-great-grandparents did. You might be horrified. And you'll go into a state of depression. I can't believe they were like that. God's not going to hold you responsible for what your great-great-grandfather did. Are you kidding me? I mean, they need to repent of their own sin. And you repent of yours. No, because there's a big thing, a big move on in the earth. You know, people find out what their ancestors did. Now they're going around to apologize to everybody for what their ancestors did. Look, just repent of your own sin, you ugly thing. Forget about what your great-grandparents did. You're not responsible for that. I mean, ultimately, we all come from Adam and Eve. What, are we going to go around and repent because Eve ate the fruit? Eve became the first Apple product user. So much so that Moses had to come along and get a tablet to undo what Eve did by using the first Apple product, which actually had a virus in it. Each person is responsible for their own sin. And when you repent, it cuts off everything in your family line. Amen. Cuts it off. Cut. Amen. Cut. 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 Hallelujah. Cut. Old, new. Past.
Yes. Come on.
Future. New day. Amen. Can you say amen? Exodus 20 and verse 5, you shall not bow down yourself to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of your fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy and steadfast love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. So that's where everything changes. So somebody said, yeah, but what if I'm like on the second generation of the one that hated him? When you repent and you get saved, it's suddenly cut off and you go from being unrighteous to becoming righteous. Stop identifying with your ancestors. The little I know about my ancestry, I'm horrified. We're born again. We have a new identity. We identified in Christ. Our life is hid with Christ in God. In him we live and move and have our being. Amen. It's not nationality. There's neither white nor black, red or yellow, male or female. In Christ, we're all the same. In Christ, we've all been washed in the blood of Jesus. Can you say amen? We're part of the royal family. Our name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. It's got nothing to do with how many years you've been saved. Somebody said, I've been in the way for 50 years. Yeah, we can see that. You've been in the way. You blocked the way. Nobody else can come through. You ugly thing, you. You could have been saved for 2 months and be further ahead than somebody that's been in the way for 50 years. It's got nothing to do with the length of your salvation. It's got to do with your heart to those who believe and say, Lord, I trust you. I believe you. So let me wrap it up with this. This is why you see people that the Lord's touched and God's blessed, and it seems like everywhere they go, the blessing of the Lord follows them. It's because they've grabbed a hold of these truths. When you are born again and the Holy Ghost comes on the inside of you, you become a zone of extreme blessing. Amen. Somebody said, yeah, but Pastor, right now it's just a little bit of blessing. It's not much, but it's a little bit. Yeah, but it's more than what it was. But it's going to grow as you have an understanding of what I've talked about. Even those of you that have come here to RBI, River University, or whatever, you watch the next 3 years. By the time you finish and graduate out of here, everything's going to change. Here's Tommy and Rita sitting on the front row. They came all the way from Finland 2001 to Bible school, and they had no plan to go back to Finland. They were going to come to Bible school again. They actually worked in the ministry. He was working in the IT department. She was working television ministry, and they became American citizen, and they were going to be here. This was their new country, and they became Americans the legal way. And they, you know, So that they're sitting here, and it was one of the conferences. I can't remember which one. Maybe you remember what year it was. And I was preaching and talking about the nations, and I watched them. Both of them were sitting there weeping. And I knew what it meant. I knew. I could see God was dealing with them. The Lord was dealing with them. God had brought them here and put the word in them. And I knew it was just a matter of time. Well, they went back to Finland and started churches, and now they're building 21 churches across the nation. He's on television across the nation. They have a Bible school, you know, and students are being raised up and many things. But they were sitting in the chair just like you sitting in the chair, and also having no intention to go anywhere. Just be here, be a part of the church, and work in the ministry. But the fire, the word of God, came on the inside of them, and they were sitting in a zone of extreme blessing. Only to have the zone of extreme blessing come on the inside of them, now God's made them a zone of extreme blessing in the nation of Finland. Are you with me? Can you even begin to understand all that the Lord has done when you think back over the years of what God has done? It's remarkable. If God can use him, a quiet Finn, who's actually, when you look at him, he's happy, but yet he's jumping up and down, but you can't see it because he doesn't show it. Unlike his wife, when she gets happy, makes a noise, jumps up and down, whatever, you know, and she'll get beside herself, almost like Spanish in a way. When you look at him, he'll be a smile on his face, but he's actually elated. He's like beside himself, but he's just sitting there like this. He's just a very happy Finn. But if you looked at him, you wouldn't know it because he doesn't show any emotion in that regard. You'll never see Tommy jumping up and down. Although I've seen the fire of God come and he took off running. I've seen that happen. But for the most part, it's pretty much as you see him right now. This here he is sitting on the front row. He's actually rolling on the ground right now. He's actually jumping over pews and doing somersaults. That's it. That's how it's going to be. Did I sum it up properly? Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, he's not even like the rest of the Finns.
No, he's totally extrovert compared to them.
You mean he's like that now? Yeah, she says he's totally extrovert compared to the rest of the Finns. We understand that. But remember, when he first came here, he was like the epitome of a Finnish person.
Yes.
But now the Lord's made them a blessing. And what's God going to do with you? All of this has so much to do with the sound that comes out of you, because hey! That's all I want to say about that. It's got so much to do with that sound that comes out of you. It has so much to do with that sound that comes out of the believer, where there's every other noise coming against you, every other sound of defeat and failure and lack and oppression, fear and bondage, but yet this thing rises up on the inside of you. Hey! Kopara kosa! You watch what God will do. And God will do it through the most unlikely people. God will do it through the most introverted people. So much so that people that know you will have to scratch their head and say, I can't. Is that the same person I knew? How is that possible? How is that possible? Because he's made you a zone of extreme blessing. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. This is not just for young people here today. This is for seniors. Somebody said, I'm a little up there, Pastor Rodney. This can't be for me. I'm like facing the sunset of my life. God can cause you to have the greatest sunset you ever had. Are you with me? God can cause the next 3 years to be like 30 years if you will allow him to do what he wants to do in your life. Don't write yourself out of the equation. I don't care what the past has been like. We're not here talking about the past. We're talking about the present, and we're talking about your future and what God wants to do through every single one of you. The history books are waiting to be written about the man and the woman that will yield themselves to the Holy Ghost. They will say, God, come and have your way in my life and through my life. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This next week, how many people we have going to the White House?
Six
from the church going to the White House. I mean, did you ever think you'd be going? Here you are. You're going to the White House. It's amazing. God's taking people into the highest places of the land. Coming out of this church. Coming out of this church, yeah. Did you ever think? Come from Cuba? Listen, God, only God. Did you ever think? Supernatural. So where's God going to take you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just close your eyes and just lift your hands right now and just begin to thank him. Just begin to thank him for his goodness. Thank him for his mercy. Thank him for his greatness and his favor upon you, upon your family, upon your loved ones, upon your children, upon your grandchildren. Come on, just begin to thank him. Oh, kaprokasai, runda rikete sofron. Rashombra ariketosai. An oasis you shall be. An oasis you shall be in a dry and a thirsty land. For many that have even written you off and said that you wouldn't amount to anything. Oh, how astounded they shall be. For many that said, oh, you would fail and that your life will not do anything. But oh, they don't know the plans that heaven has for you. They don't know the plans that the Master has for you. So receive heaven's plan even this day. Hearken not unto the voice of man. Hearken not unto the voice of the naysayer, the gainsayer, and those that would write you off, that would try to put you in the dustbin of history and say that you'll not amount to anything. But know the plans that the Lord has for you, plans to prosper you, plans not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. These are the plans that he has for your life. So get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. For some, it shall be a suddenly. For some, it shall be a suddenly. Even in the remaining months of this year, by 2020, you'll find yourself in another whole realm. The view around your house is about to change. Hallelujah. You'll find yourself in situations and circumstances where you'll even have to pinch yourself. You think your dad went to heaven and say, I'm living a dream. How is this possible? How could this even happen to me? But if you covenant to always give him the glory and give him the praise, there's no stopping what God will do. There's no stopping what heaven will do. Even today, the team that travel with me, every time we get on a plane, they will hear me pray. Obviously, I pray protection over the journey, but I always say, Father, thank you for allowing us to do this. Thank you for allowing us to travel like this. We do not take it for granted, nor do we think that we are owed anything by you, that we count this such an honor and a privilege that you would even allow us to do this, to carry this glorious gospel to the nation, the earth, and we'll continue to do this with every fiber of our being, with every breath in our lungs until the day that we see you face to face. Thank you for the honor. Thank you for the privilege. We do not take this for granted. We do not think we are owed one thing. We owe you everything. Thank you, Lord. With a humble heart, we thank you, we praise you, and we give you honor and we give you glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your greatness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your mercy. And we thank him and we praise him. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Praise God. How many needed to hear this today? Let this solidify in your spirit. And, you know, let me just say this, and then we're going to pray. Somebody said, I thought you did pray. Yeah, but I'm going to pray again. What you have to understand, when I preach like this, I'm not preaching for the now. Obviously, it will have an effect now, but I'm preaching into the future. The only reason that these guys can go do what they're doing is because hours and hours and weeks and months and years are putting the word into them that God could take them and do it, because they had to be independent from us. Are you with me? They didn't go and we didn't fund them. They had to go by themselves. They had to go with nothing. They had to go and believe God for the first building. They had to believe God for the second building. They had to believe God for every little finite little detail. How many staff members do you have now?
Eight
staff that are working for them now. In Finland, some of the stuff they're doing is unheard of. In Finland, it's never been done before. In Finland, outside of a church, a state church, are you with me? They're doing stuff that's never been done before in the nation. So what's God going to do with you? I know people think I'm preaching for this Sunday. I have the future in mind of what God is going to do. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And if you thought this was about just this Sunday, then you probably should find another place. If you're only worried about today, then you're in the wrong place. Because I'm concerned about what God's going to do with you in the days and weeks and months to come. Can you say amen? Amen. Big things. Hallelujah. Mighty things. Glorious things.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
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 Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands one more time. Just thank him. Father, show them. Show them what you have for them. Show them what you've prepared for them. Show them the path of life. Show them, let them look with the eye and see into the future what you have for them. Let them not look into the now and the circumstances of life and what's taking place now. Father, open their eyes that they can see. Open their ears that they can hear. And that which begins small will begin to multiply and begin to grow and grow and grow. Thank you, Lord. Whole nations are going to be shaken. Whole nations, whole regions of the earth shall be shaken. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, just thank him one more time. 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 Glory to God. If you can do this right now, the moment you've given, if you can bow your heads, because I want to give an invitation right now this morning, because everything starts with the heart. It's about a heart surrender to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Maybe you came here today and you fit into any one of these categories. I'd love to pray with you and for you. Maybe as you're sitting here today, you've never ever given your life to Jesus. You've never ever said, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. Friend, what would happen if today was suddenly your last day on the earth? You went home from this place. Tonight you put your head on your pillow and in the middle of the night you passed. Where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to a devil's hell because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid and the blood was shed. And just like that old song said, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath their flood, lose all the guilty stains. Today, the power of sin will be broken. The power of guilt and shame will be removed from your life. You might have come in here one way, but you leave another way. Today, he calls you. Will you surrender? Will you say, Jesus, come? He loves you so very much. You don't know how long your life will be on the earth. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. This is the reason I give these calls. It's not to guilt anybody, but to give people an opportunity to accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Secondly, maybe you've come to this place and you gave your life to the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. There was a time when you were on fire for God, but then something happened and you lost your first love. You lost the peace. You lost the joy that you once had. But today, God wants to restore you. He wants to restore you. Maybe it's something hidden. No one can even see it. And because it's hidden, you've never dealt with it. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, the hidden things. But today you say, I want that gone from my life. I don't want any of that there. Maybe it's something outward that everyone can see, and so the enemy uses it against you to keep you in a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like God will never use you because of things that have happened in your life. But I want you to know the devil's a liar, and God's a God of a second chance, and God's a God of a new beginning. Will you surrender to Him afresh and say, Lord, come? Maybe it's not hidden or outward. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life, as the storms of life come to everyone. You were going along, a sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. And you say, I'm coming back today. I must surrender my life to Him. I want my joy, my salvation restored to me today. I want to become a zone of extreme blessing. Will you surrender to Him afresh today and say, Lord, come. He loves you so much. Everywhere I go, I find people that the storms of life have come and taken the wind out of their sails. And then I see the Lord restore them. And then lastly, if you're in this place, you love the Lord, that's not even a question. But as you're sitting here right now, you don't have the assurance that you're a child of God. The enemy's always lying to you, telling you that you're not saved. But today you want to make sure, today you want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're a child of God. If this is you, right where you are, quickly put your hand up and say, pray for me. Hands going up. God bless you. 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 Stick them up high and say yes. Another hand back there. Another hand over here. Another hand over there. Another hand over there. Another hand over there. Quickly. Another hand over there. Another hand over here. Raise up high and say yes, that's me. Hands are going up all around on this side over here. Today is your day. The moment you raise your hand, you can put it down. I want everybody to look at me right now, if you would please. If you're in this section and you did not raise your hand, but you want to be included, the prayer I'm going to pray right now, quickly put your hand up and say, include me, include me, include me. Thank you, thank you. Yes, yes. This section, you didn't raise your hand but want to be included, put your hand up right now and say, include me in the prayer. Anybody else? Quickly, raise up high. This section here. You didn't raise your hand. God bless you, sir. God bless you, young man. Anybody else? Slip your hand up. Or young lady, I'm not sure. Okay, slip your hand up. Anybody, this section here. You didn't raise your hand. Put your hand up and say, include me. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Okay. I want everybody that raised your hand to stand to your feet right now. Quickly, all across the building. Everyone that raised your hand, stand. Stand. Every person that raised your hand, stand. Stand, 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 stand. Stand all across the building. Everyone that raised your hand, stand your feet. Come on. I want just step out of your seat and come. Right around the altar, we're going to pray. Come. Today's your day of freedom. Come. Today's your day of liberty. Come. He calls you. He calls you. He calls you. He calls you. Guys, put him right in the middle, please. Put him right in the middle. To follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Put him in the middle. Put them in the middle. The cross before me, the world behind me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. You can take the whole world. Give me Jesus. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. Hallelujah. Stretch your hand out towards these precious ones that have come today. I want every one of you to look at me. We're going to pray one prayer, one prayer for us all. It's because of you that we came to America as missionaries. God sent my wife and I here. We came December of 1987 and landed with $300. Didn't know anybody. Just knew God called us here. And it's all because of you. That's why he sent us here, all the way from Africa. And today, if you believe, then today you can receive, as literally tens of thousands of people over the years have received right here at this altar. It's going to take place today. Whether this is your first time, or you're here to recommit your life, or you're here to make sure you're going to leave here changed, not by the hand of man, but by the hand of the Lord. I want you to close your eyes. Raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. And pray this together with me. Believe it in your heart. And say it with your mouth. Say this out loud. Say, Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead, I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now lift both hands and just thank him. Father, I pray that you would seal them now by your blood and by your spirit, that on that day not one would be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them to impact this generation, we pray. And we thank you that on that day they'll hear these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Now look at me if you would please. Here's the glorious story that many have come through the years and come just like you standing now. And 3 years from now, you can't believe what God does with them. Now you might go home, you still live in the same house, you're still in the same circumstances, but something happens because something changes on the inside. And as you allow the Lord to do work in you, God will do the work through you. And that's how this whole thing happens. Are you with me? But many testimonies, literally thousands of people whose whole life is in another dimension because they've received the word of the Lord. So I want to encourage you, plug into one of the HOJs and don't miss another main event. Do whatever it takes. You get the bus, get in the car, come see us, come and be a part here. Let God put the word in you so that God can raise you up to do what he wants to do. How many believe that your life's on the earth for a purpose? Okay. Well, the devil's purpose is canceled yet today. It's canceled. Canceled. God's purpose is enacted today over your life. Amen? I don't care what the enemy was planning with you. It is broken from this day. Broken. 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 Broken.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.